Happy almost Halloween, everybody. Tonight, the 3 a.m. Mystery Club has a special treat for you all. Ro, Derek, and myself, it's Brandon, by the way, are digging into the scariest stories we heard growing up. The three of us have a lot in common, but it's especially fun that we all heard scary stories from our parents and grandparents when we were kids. And tonight, we are going to share some of those with you.
It really is no wonder the three of us host a podcast like this. And tonight, we'll try not to scare you too much.
Speak for yourself. To quote my favorite horror movie, everyone is entitled to one good scare.
Very true. And if there was ever an appropriate time for a good fright, it's 2 days before Halloween.
Hello and welcome back to the 3 a.m. Mystery Club podcast. And like I've already said, this is a special Halloween edition for you. And we're going to be telling stories that scared us as kids. I think I will go first because what you don't know is my dogs have been noisy this whole time and now they're quiet. So I'm going to do it while I can. So I have two stories. One I actually told Ro and Derek before, but I'm going to start with one they haven't heard. This one comes from my mom. My mom told this story to me when I was a kid, and it scared me a lot. So it goes something like this. It's been a long time since I've heard it, but I still remember, you know, the most specific points. So like any good scary story, it was a dark and rainy night, and my mom was leaving her job at a diner. Derek, we've talked about this diner before. It was called Gene Ball's.
I was going to say Gene Ball's Diner.
Yes. And she was driving home. Like, she had just got a car, like never had a car before, never used to drive to work. And she was driving home for the very first time. And it was late, of course, because she got off late. And she was, you know, going around a windy road. And she was driving pretty slow because of the rain. And she came up, you know, her headlights shone on a man standing by the road, waving for her to stop. And we talk about naive victims sometimes on this podcast. Well, my mom was definitely naive at this point. This was 1967, I would say, because she was around 17, and that's when she would have been 17. So anyway, she slows to a stop, and he's like trying to ask for a ride, I think. And I remember asking her, like, was he wearing a raincoat or anything? Because this story is reminding me of one of the stories in Creepshow 2. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but a woman hits a man, and she's cheating on her husband, and she strikes a pedestrian. And she leaves the scene. And so he haunts her the rest of the night saying, thanks for the ride, lady. So anyway, that reminded me of that story. And so I was like asking, like, was he wearing a raincoat and all that? And was he scary and all that? And she was like, he wasn't really scary, but he was pounding on her window, asking for help. And she said that she got scared, and then she took off, and then she felt guilty. And so she turned around to come back to see if he needed help. And he wasn't there when she went back. And I was like, did he just go away? She's like, there was nowhere he could have gone. It was like he disappeared. So,
okay, that is scary.
Yeah. Like, I remember it scaring me so much as a kid, and I just got the same goose bumps that I always got. Part of me, when we were preparing to do this podcast, was like, okay, that's probably actually some urban legend that my mom just came up, you know, decided to tell us to scare me. And so I actually Googled it, and I couldn't find anything that specific that was, you know, that similar. So I tend to believe her. And I asked her about it today, and she can't remember. I don't want to make this a sad story, but she doesn't, you know, her mind's not the same as it used to be. And she couldn't remember the story. So I told her the story, and she was like, okay, yeah, that's scary. And so I thought, you know, that'd be a nice little nod to her, you know, her tonight anyway. But it was always so scary. And you guys heard the story about my dad. And I guess I could go ahead and tell that, and then I'll just go on silent while my dogs probably get riled up again. So this story came from my father. This was earlier in the 60s. My dad passed away a couple years ago, and he was getting up there in age. So he was in basic training in the mid 60s, and he was leaving basic training, and then you know back then everyone hitchhiked. You just hitchhiked. So he was hitchhiking from Fort Bragg to West Virginia, and a man in a truck with a dog in the back stopped to pick him up. And my dad got in, and my dad tried to make conversation with the man, and the man wouldn't say a word. My dad was just like, okay, I guess I'll just ride with you until, you know, you say get out. And that's exactly what he did. My dad said the man slowed the truck down in front of a really long wall that seemed to be like maybe a cemetery wall. In fact, my dad was pretty certain it was a cemetery. And he said, the man finally spoke and said, this is as far as I'm going. And so my dad was like, okay. So he grabbed his army duffel bag and got out of the truck, started walking up the road along that long brick wall. And suddenly a dog jumped over the wall to like attack him and chased him. And he was like certain that it was the dog that was in the back of the truck. So he was pretty sure that the man, you know, pulled into the cemetery and told his dog to go after my dad. And my dad had no idea why. It was like just some spooky guy that was, you know, up to no good, I guess, trying to maybe scare my dad, maybe even hurt him. But in that story, to me, it's a little less of a ghost story than my mom's story, and it's almost more like a true crime story. So that's why I thought it was definitely an appropriate one to share with you guys. But it's so scary.
It's terrifying. The thought of your dad being in that car with him and him not talking. He's riding with a stranger that just picked him up in the dark, and he's not saying a word to your dad.
Yes.
And then just stops in front of a cemetery and says, this is where I'm going.
Yes. And again, me as a skeptical adult was like, okay, he was lying. But I heard it so many times told the exact same way that I truly believe it. And if anybody out there has heard these stories as urban legends, then please tell me and ruin my fantasy. Because I was like, wow, that's terrifying. I mean, imagine you're like this at a, I'm first hearing this at a, you know, sitting around a fire outside in the nighttime in October even. And just, yeah, it's a story that I'll never forget. And I told it just about exactly the way my dad would have. Only I wasn't drunk like he would have been.
That is so creepy. And I just have to say, thank goodness he was fresh from boot camp. So he could get away from that dog.
Oh yeah. My dad was actually such a fast runner that his nickname was Wink, like the wink of an eye. So I imagine him just running his ass off from that dog.
Just the term hauled ass just blinks in my mind as I imagine that. He just hauled ass.
Yes. So yeah, I hope the story my dad scared me with as a kid scared somebody out there, because we need to be scared. It's 2 days before Halloween. All right, who's next?
I have something to tell you about that I was told as a kid, and I know this actually happened. This is definitely not, I think your dad's happened too, but you said you were wondering, could it have been an urban legend? I know this one actually happened. The only thing that I have to say though is this involves kind of a sensitive matter, and I did not ask for the person's permission to tell this story. So I'm not going to identify the person. I'm just going to say that it is someone close to me. Someone close to me told me that in the late 70s or early 80s, it was definitely around that time, she was up late. She was an adult living with her older mother at this point. And she was up late. Her mother was in bed and she was watching Saturday Night Live. Well, this person was a night owl, and she recalls like walking around the house to do different things, like go in the kitchen to get a glass of water, walk into the bedroom to change into your night clothes, just different things that you do when it's getting late before it's time to go to bed. And she recalls every room that she walked into, the neighbor's dog. Well, I need to be clear. I'm not sure if it was her dog or her neighbor's dog, but a dog outside of the house ran to every room she walked to and barked. It started to freak her out. She called to her mother, who was asleep, and woke her up briefly and said, every time I go to one of the rooms, a dog runs outside of the window and starts barking. Her mother told her, it's getting late. You are up way too late and you are scaring yourself. Go to bed. There's nothing going on. Like, you're just freaking yourself out. So at this point, she decided, okay, I'm going to go to bed. So she goes into the room to change clothes. And as she's changing, she hears that dog barking outside of the window of the room she's in. And she heard a man's voice say, shut up. So yeah, that story has always scared me. This person, then when she heard the dog's voice say shut up, or when she heard the dog bark and the person say shut up, she flipped off all of the lights and called her niece, who lived, I don't know, maybe a mile away, probably not even that far. And her niece made the drive to her house just to check out the outside of it. She didn't even get out of her car. She just drove by the house. And as she's backing out of the driveway from checking things out, a weird car followed her, and she realized it was that person who had been standing outside of the windows.
Oh, so basically he was going from window to window.
Yes, he was going from window to window. And when she heard, the dog barking, she knew that she was hearing something, but her mother, being a mother, just thought, oh, you're scaring yourself and you're up late, go to bed. But there was somebody there, and when I've asked this person, like, what happened to the suspect, I haven't talked to her about in a while, and I can't really remember what she says, but I feel like it was never really, like, nothing ever really happened.
That's so creepy.
That's really all I remember that she told me about this story. But I thought that was scary. And she lived really in a really secluded rural area. So if you saw her house, you would know how scary it would be to have somebody outside in the yard, because the few neighbors that are nearby are not even within eyesight. They're hidden by trees and hills.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all know people who live like that. And if somebody is in your yard, then they went out of their way to get in your yard.
Yeah, like they weren't in your yard by accident. It's purposely done.
Exactly. But that's the creepiest thing I could think of. Definitely not a ghost story, but scary.
Oh, that is creepy. Like, I'm scared to go check my window now.
I know, it makes me scared of windows at night.
Between that and my fear of Harry and the Hendersons peeping through my window, I'm surprised.
Oh, that
no. I'm surprised that I even opened my curtains.
Well, yeah, that story that Derek had already told about the window looking in was what kind of inspired us to do this episode tonight. Like, oh, we have these other stories we can tell.
Oh, the person who, I'll just tell that again quickly, even though I've already told that story. I'll just tell that again while we're covering scary stories in case somebody didn't hear that. So someone that I know, that I trust very well, and I know would not make this up, told me when he was a kid and living with his parents, he got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water. And above the kitchen sink is a window that looks out into his parents' backyard. And as he was getting himself some water, he just happened to look up at the window, and staring back at him was a bald, smiling man with rotten teeth. So that terrified me. And this person does not say things like that lightly. So I'm sure he saw something. And one time I stayed at that house. And when I got up in the middle of the night to either go to the restroom or get some water, I kept my eyes on the floor. I would not even look up at that window.
No doubt.
Oh, Ro, what do you have for us tonight?
Okay, so I have all kinds of scary ghost stories that I grew up with. I'll try to narrow it down. The first one is kind of like a family lore. I have to set the scene a little bit. I was born in Eastern Kentucky. That's where all my family is. And I don't know if it's true everywhere or just there, but families, big families, usually have private family cemeteries on a family farm somewhere. So big families usually have private cemeteries on a family farm somewhere. Everybody contributes to it. They go out of their way to landscape it. They make it look nice. People do things like you have picnics there, and Memorial Day, you celebrate everybody there. Like, I've not, since we moved to West Virginia, I've not encountered that anywhere else. So I have to lay that kind of background for you for this. So our family cemetery on my dad's side is like that. And it's up on a hill way out in the woods. And then below it is a cluster of houses that were like, that belonged to like my great-great-grandparents, my great-grandparents. And now my dad lives in one and my grandpa lives in the other. So, and they grew up in that area. Like, they have not left. And the saying is that on full moon nights, you can see lights from the cemetery bounce like someone's skipping, but it's always a cluster of lights, and they skip from the top of the cemetery down the hill, across the road, and to the original house where my great-great-grandparents set up shop, so to speak. I haven't seen them, but my aunt swears she saw them in the 80s. My dad said he's seen them. It's kind of like a family joke, like the twinkling lights. Oh, that's grandpa. He's coming to check on you. You've done something bad. And I've had an experience with it, not lights, but something even scarier.
What's that?
Okay. So next to the original house where you see the twinkling lights bounce from the cemetery to the front door of the house, my aunt and uncle built their house. And they were like the cool aunt and uncle in the 80s and 90s because they didn't have kids yet. So all of us cousins would always want to go stay there because they had, get ready for this, they had cable and they had a Sega Genesis.
Say no more. That's the place to be.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say a trampoline.
No. Cable and a Sega Genesis.
They had a trampoline too. It's it. That's it. Like,
no, they did have a pool. They did have a pool. So they were the cool aunt and uncle you always wanted to stay with. Their house was brand new. So I need to be clear on that. It was brand new, but it was on old family land. Every night I spent the night there, whether it was just myself and my siblings or a bunch of cousins, we would all get to like have movie night. You know, we'd play games and we'd watch movies because they also had a cool Blockbuster membership and we got to use it. So you'd watch movies, fall asleep. You would wake up, and let me know if you hear this because I need to do a sound effect. So every night that we spent the night there and we'd fall asleep, we would wake up at 2 a.m. on the nose and we would hear this all across the house, like from the kitchen into that room. And then you would hear the bouncing of a ball, like a basketball or a big rubber ball or something.
In their house?
In their house.
That's terrifying. And you don't know nobody knew what it was?
No. And it was just in that house because you could go spend the night at my grandpa's, which was the original family house. None of that would happen. But it gets creepier. Eventually, that aunt and uncle had kids. And by this time, I was a teenager. And one of the little kids was probably about 2 or 3. And he would stare at the family room and he would scream. And you would ask him what was wrong. And he would say, the shadow monsters don't want to play with me anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
How old is that person now?
He's in his 20s.
Does he remember saying that?
He doesn't remember saying it, but he when we tell him about it, he just laughs. He's like, oh my God, I was a creepy kid.
Wow. I wonder what that was.
I don't know, but he was a toddler, so I don't know that he would have ever remembered it. But yeah, so that's my personal experience with family ghosts.
That's very scary.
Yeah, but the running footsteps, and it was like a light, fast run, like a kid, if that makes sense. Like, you can tell the difference when a kid's running versus when an adult's running.
Yeah.
And it was at 2 a.m. every time.
And that was a new house, right? So you had to think that it was built on top of something else.
Yeah. we would get freaked out and we would say stuff. And then like my dad and my grandpa and my uncle would like go check under the house. And there was never any evidence that anything was under there, like an animal or anything. And it was very clear footsteps.
Oh, that's so creepy. And I'm actually so jealous. I hate that I've never had a true ghostly encounter myself.
We need to take a trip to Gettysburg, because I will guarantee you will have an encounter there. I mean, my mom and I went for a girls' trip one weekend, and it was the creepiest time of our lives.
All right, I need to go, because I just went to Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky last week, and I didn't see anything while I was there, but you've both seen the photo. I did take a photo of a woman standing in a doorway that looks like somebody's standing behind her. So that's pretty creepy, but I didn't see anything while I was there. I'm going to have to go back for the overnight ghost hunting tour, though, because I want to see a fucking ghost. I'm weird like that, though.
Well, see, I am too. I love that stuff, and I seek it out on purpose. Which leads me to my next. It's not really like I didn't experience anything, but just the atmosphere was creepy and it was perfect. And I really think we should add it to our mystery tour, our grand tour, when we start doing fun stuff like that. But it is in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And my mom and I went, this was when I was in college, and mom was just like, oh, we should take a girls weekend. And I was a history major, so she was like, we should check out Gettysburg, it'll be fun. So we went, and we stayed in this bed and breakfast, which, side note, I'll have to look up the name of it, because it's been, I don't want to say how many years, I don't want to age myself, but it's been a while. So we went to this bed and breakfast. And it was really old, like it was built in the 1700s. It fit with the atmosphere, like, you know, it was decorated for historical accuracy. We get in our room and we notice as we're going in the building, there are strange chalk markings everywhere. And we're like, oh, that's weird. We'll file that away for later. And then this is an old house. So you walk up and there's like in these grand old houses, you have like the front of house where the main people would stay, like the owners of the house and their family. And then you have the back of the house where the servants would stay. And so as you're walking in the front of the house to go to your room you rented, which was the original front of the house, there was this corridor and it was real narrow and it was kind of out of the way. So it would have been for the servants. And you look back there and it's very like the whole house is decorated to the like perfectly, like a movie set perfect. Then you look down this corridor and there is nothing there. And there's all these rooms that you can tell are shut and locked up at the top, and they're not being rented out. And you're like, why? Because we went in the summer, which is high tourist season. So we were like, okay, well, that's something to file away. We also come to find out as we go down to eat lunch after we unpacked, more of these symbols, and there's pennies stuck in the mortar of the restaurant, which is like log timbers, and then whatever they use in the old days, you know, to make the logs stick together for your log house. And so we finally get to talking to the owner, and he's like, oh yeah, the pennies, the copper deters the demons. And so, and every summer we have to have a blessing from a priest to keep the demons at peace so they don't bother our guests.
What?
Yeah. And we're just like, oh, okay. And then it turns out that this house has been on several different ghost hunting shows with a lot of activity. And that corridor is the most haunted part of the house, and the activity was getting so bad that they had to quit letting people stay the night back there until they got it, you know, re-blessed or whatever.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we didn't experience any of that, but I just thought just the knowing that made the stay really scary.
You should have called Sam and Dean.
Yeah, really. And then also on that trip, which was really fun, we did a ghost tour and he had a spirit box and it would talk back. And then if you are a woman, they say, while you're there, if you wear your hair down, or if your hair is cut short, or if you wear like a low cut top, or you're wearing shorts in the summertime, you'll get pinched or your hair will get pulled because it's supposed to be the ghost of a soldier. And they're telling you that you're dressed like a whore, basically.
Oh, see, they said that at Waverly Hills too. They were like, we were in this one spot and they said that the spirit or the demon or the spirit or whatever is really nasty to women, especially.
That's... Yeah, it's the same in Gettysburg.
Because, you know, there were soldiers that had TB that went to that hospital. So maybe it was similar.
It could have been. Yeah. So that was the thing. And then also along that way, there was another house. Like, there is something about demons in Gettysburg. Let me just say, there's this other house that you walked past. You didn't get to go in because it was a private residence. But the guy on the ghost tour stopped and he pointed. And, you know, in movies, how the set, like especially scary movies, how the cellar is like just a door in the ground and you open it up and you jump down in there. Yeah. like in Twist, almost like a like in Twister, the tornado shelter or whatever,
storm cellar.
Yeah, like that. So this one was bolted up and like welded shut. You could like see the welders, you know, the seam where they weld stuff shut. He said that on certain nights when you come out, you can see a fog come up out of that basement, and that it had to be exorcised or blessed by a spirit or a priest. And that it, whenever they sell this house, it's in the deed every time that cellar is not to be opened under any circumstances. And I just thought that was creepy too. I was just like, okay.
That's beyond creepy.
Yeah, could you imagine like that? First of all, if I bought that house and they told me that, I probably would open it and the apocalypse would have started. Like, that's the perfect way to get me to do something, is to tell me not to do it.
Oh yeah, I would fuck with the puzzle in Hellraiser. I would open any kind of scary book in Evil Dead. I would do all that shit. I would doom us all.
The Dybbuk box, you know, that I totally would be like, where's the key?
Yeah, I would definitely say Candyman five yeah. times.
But, you know, I never have done Bloody Mary. I have never said that. I'm too scared of that, but I do, you know, all the other stuff.
Bloody Mary is pretty scary. Like, I don't know. I think I've done it before at a party or something, but I'm still suspecting her to come and get me one day. She was just taking a really long time to get here.
She's taking a detour. My last story is a story that my grandmother has told us about a ghost thing that she encountered as a little girl. Now, my grandma grew up, she has a dozen brothers and sisters, literally. And she grew up with just her mom, her grandma, and her aunts. Her father passed away when she was very young. So one of these days, her aunts was like sitting on their porch watching all these dozen little kids play. And she stood up and she told them to stop playing, to stand still and look at the ground. And they didn't understand what was going on. Well, later, the aunt, it was probably like 30 seconds or so past, the aunt sat back down and she said, okay, you can play again. Like, she took a deep breath of relief. So my grandmother's like, what is wrong with her? What's going on? So she went up and talked to her, and finally... And the aunt wouldn't say anything. She was like, no, it's bad luck to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. Well, probably about a week or two later, there was a death in the family. A little cousin who was a toddler passed away. My grandmother never said what it was, but this was like in the 40s and 50s. And sadly, kids, you know, they passed away a lot. So at the funeral, as everyone's sad and they're kind of gathered around, finishing things up, the aunt that had freaked out on them while she was watching them spoke up and said, I knew this was going to happen. And then she went on to say that while the kids were playing, she saw a child-sized coffin floating around all of the kids, like as if it was trying to choose. And then it passed them all up and disappeared.
Yikes. That is really freaky.
Yeah. So those are my ghost stories. Like, those are just a few of many, but But those were my scariest ones.
We'll save the others for next year. I'm going to have to dig into my family archives and see if I can remember any more. Those are the two that really just stood out for me. Oh, well, thanks for listening, everybody. And if you have any ghost stories you'd like to share with us, please do. It'll be past Halloween, but we might tell them on our podcast. If not now, maybe next year.